Money, 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 money. Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Dobiak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Dobiak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some interesting topics today. I want to talk about K-shaped economics, the cost of the shutdown, why Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and then finally, in the Ask Peggy section, I'm going to talk about some layoff tips. So let's get started with the Bulls and Bears Market and Economic Update. This is for the week ending October 31st, which is Halloween, last Friday. I'm taping this show on Monday, November 3rd, and I'm pointing that out because with the speed that some of the rules and regulations and legislation is coming down, I think it has a lot to do with what day it is, what's actually true, and where we are in things, especially if there's a chance that the shutdown might end this week. But it was another rip-snorter week in the stock market, with the Dow up 0.75%, the S&P 500 up 0.7%, and the NASDAQ up almost 2.25%. Gold was down 2.74%, and oil, West Texas Intermediate Crude, front month price, was down about 0.9%. Right now, the cost of a barrel is $60.88. The dollar index is up about 0.75%. And the 10-year Treasury yield was up last week, 5.6%. That current rate is 4.079% at the time I took the data. The aggregate bond fund dropped by 0.6% because the 10-year Treasury yield went up. Bitcoin dropped by almost 0.7%, and the volatility index was up about 6.5%. So really what we have right now is the story of two economies. There is the economy of the stock market, that is also the economy of high tech, and specifically AI-driven high tech kinds of stocks. And it just continues booming, so that yes, if you look at your 401k statement at the end of the month, you're probably very happy with what you're seeing. The thing is, right now, what we have is the stock market-driven economy, and then we have the day-in, day-out economy, which is what is called a K-shaped economy. So like the alphabet letter K, and it's because a little bit is doing really well, but most of it is not doing as well as that small percent. So what you have is the stock market doing great as all of these tech deals continue to go and AI continues to be popular. There's lots of push right now for cryptocurrency, even though it dropped just a smidge this week. Overall, the market for crypto is remarkably good. That is causing some of the economic measures to look good. Now, we have a second problem going on, which is the actual governmental data isn't available because the government is closed. So what economists are using right now for their data is a lot of secondary measures. These measures are very accurate. There's nothing wrong with using them, but it isn't the same gold standard data that we've always used to measure how the economy is going. So, you know, we haven't had a recession yet. I say yet, I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer, and we may not have a recession, but there are more and more people who are looking at what the market is doing right now in light of all of the insecurities going on in the states and a lot of the lack of being certain where other elements of the economy are going to go. And what the market is doing is pretty remarkable. I think it is a bubble. Now, the deal with a bubble is you don't know when it's going to break, and you don't know how badly it's going to break when it breaks. So for the economy to break, something would need to happen probably within the technology sector. This is looking to a lot of people like what the market looked like in 98 and 99 and the run up to 2000 when the dot-com stocks broke. And that was a fairly substantial market drop. It was because they were not doing a good job of measuring the data. Some of those issues are not happening quite as much right now, but there does really seem to be the belief that AI is going to be everything, everywhere, all the time, just like that movie title suggested. That had nothing to do with AI, by the way. But, you know, we just need to be careful. What do? You make sure that your stock and bond portfolio matches your risk tolerance level. You make sure that in this long run-up, what you thought were your percentages are still your percentages. Now, if you have a higher percentage of stock, which is incredibly likely given how well the stock market has been doing, then you and your financial team need to make a decision. So I'm not going to get on the radio and say, sell, sell now, because I don't trust people like that. But you do need to know what the percentages are, what would happen to you if the stock market were to burst, and are you where you're comfortable being? Just knowledge is huge here. Be aware that nothing goes up forever. There will be a market correction at the very least at the end of this, and you just need to make sure you're in the right place. Now, if you notice that the 10-year Treasury yield went up 5%, when the Fed dropped rates by a quarter of a percent last week, you might be wondering why that happened. And I'll tell you, it was the guidance that the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, gave after the announcement of the rate cut. Because he said that right now, due to the less than pristine economic data that we're getting because of the government shutdown, because we don't know how long the shutdown is going to continue. And we're going to talk more about the economic impact of this in the next segment, in the regulation segment of the show. So we're going to look at that, but it's having a sizable impact. And it will depend upon, you know, how hard it is for people if they're not employed. If the market is looking like it could become inflationary, the Fed is probably not going to cut rates. Weirdly, if the economy is bad, the Fed's more likely to cut rates than if it's good. That's the piece of this nobody seems to understand. When the Fed cuts rates, it's because they see problems on the horizon, not because they think everything is going fabulously. So just keep that in mind when people are getting excited. And because we're not sure if there's going to be another, and it'll be a quarter point, it will not be more than that in December. That's why the 10-year Treasury yield went up rather than the down everybody was expecting. That's why the old stock trading adage is you buy the rumor and you sell the news. Because most of the time, any market is going to react in anticipation of what's happening rather than in reaction to what actually happened. This is why companies come out with good earnings news. Sometimes the stock goes up, but sometimes it goes down. Because if there had been an enormous anticipation of the news being good, and then maybe the news wasn't quite as good as the market had decided it would be, that stock goes down. That's why they say, you know, you don't want to try to time the market, because the only way you can actually time the market is to get ahead of the market. That is unbelievably difficult to do. And most of the value of your portfolio comes from your asset allocation anyway. So look at it, make sure it's where you want it to be, and that will help you regardless of what happens next.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And because the government is shut down and because there isn't really any legislation right now, I thought we could use this opportunity to talk a little bit about the economic impact to our economy because of the shutdown. So that's what I thought we'd talk about this time. And there have been some data that have come out of the Congressional Budget Office. Now, just so you know, that is a nonpartisan organization. So it's not a Democrat think tank. It's not a conservative think tank. It is a nonpartisan government agency. And they're saying that the shutdown so far, again, this is Monday, November 3rd, and this data actually came out on October 29th, so it's going to be a little bit worse than these numbers, that's already cost the U.S. economy at least $18 billion, with a B, dollars this year, and that number's going to get bigger, and it's going to start getting bigger faster if this shutdown continues for a few more weeks. So, why would it get bigger faster? It gets bigger faster because some people have some money in savings. Some people have an emergency fund. They have the ability to stave things off for a while. But, you know, most people don't have a full month of emergency fund. If you've listened to the show for a very long time, you know I want you to have that much. But a lot of people don't, and this is not the time to be judgmental or to be critical. But when the resources that folks have is gone, then they're going to have to rely on other things. And so the cost of the economy will get bigger because people aren't going to buy things that they don't have to have. And so when you get into that situation, then you start getting a fairly big economic, an economic impact, at least in the short run. Now, a lot of the impact is going to be temporary. And once the shutdown is over, and again, especially if it lasts for a while, we'll see a boost in the economy as soon as it's over, because people will get their paychecks. And if they have any margin between their bills and the amount of their checks, they're going to go out and buy all those things they aren't able to buy right now. So in the short run, you'll see an increase in the economic data. The data will look better, but it's still not going to be completely without impact. So there is a really good chance that between 7 and 14 billion, with a B, dollars, will not be recovered. So, you know, to put that into context with numbers I really can't comprehend, but we're $18 billion now down, and they're saying 7 to 14 billion may not be recovered. So let's be optimistic and do math in our head, okay? Because I didn't work this out on a calculator. I don't want to work this out on a calculator. I just want to talk to you. So let's assume it's 7 billion out of 18. Well, 9 billion out of 18 would be half of the money, right? So I'm going to say 35%, give or take, maybe a little bit less than that. Let's call it 25%, and I know it'll be worse. But I don't want to give you inflated numbers that are worse than we're expecting. So we know that 25% of that money isn't going to come back. And the GDP, the gross domestic product, now GDP is what we use to measure whether or not we're in a recession. If GDP is positive, then the market is doing really well. If GDP is negative, then that means that we are not producing as much as we need to be producing. So right now, GDP is already poised to be a percentage lower in the fourth quarter of this year than it would have been if this hadn't happened. So there's been a real economic impact to this. If the shutdown goes to 6 weeks, which would be mid-November, then GDP is going to be about 1.5 percentage points lower in the fourth quarter, causing a reduction of $28 billion. If it goes as far as 8 weeks, which would be Thanksgiving, which is weirdly what I hear from people, I have no idea why they think the government would reopen the week of Thanksgiving, other than, oh, well, we wouldn't want people not to have jobs over the holidays. But, you know, the last government shutdown was right before Christmas. So I don't understand that, but let's assume they're correct and the government reopens right before Thanksgiving. Then that would be 2 percentage points away from GDP and $39 billion. So you can see that the longer it goes, the more exponential the results are. And I think I saw a GDP number recently that it was 4 and a bit percent. So that would cut our GDP in half. This isn't good. Some of it will be made up. You know, the longer it goes, actually, the harder it'll be for people to make things up. And I'm guessing, this is me, this is not data, this is Peggy talking, I would think that there would be things that people would never go back and buy. So let's assume that this goes and it begins to impact holiday shopping. And let's make it even more specific and say it begins to impact the shopping people do on holiday decorations. Outdoor lights, new Christmas trees, new wreaths, all of the stuff around Christmas. Well, by the time you get to a week before Christmas, there isn't any point in spending money on new stuff. You might as well wait until after Christmas and get the sales, because decorating for the holidays is gone. That spending doesn't come back. You know, spending around Thanksgiving holidays, if you miss Thanksgiving, there's no point spending the money, especially if it's something like an airline ticket. So there are going to be things that won't come back. There will be a lot of stuff that will, no question about it. But no doubt, we need to work with this. And then adding to that, now again, this is Monday, SNAP benefits, although they've been ordered to be reinstated, they haven't been. And so that's probably going to be the drama of this week. But on top of the SNAP recipients, you have 650,000 federal employees furloughed right now, with that number anticipated to get bigger, with the possibility that some of the people are going to lose their jobs. So going back to the tech companies are doing great, but the people really aren't. That's why they're calling it a K-shaped economy. If something blows up at the top, it's not like there's strength all the way through the economy to keep it from happening, but to keep economic crisis from happening. So, you know, it gets a little bit fluffier, which always makes me nervous. We're just going to have to wait and see what happens next.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And today I want to talk about Thanksgiving and prosperity. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because it has little stress. It doesn't come with an expectation of presents, and it focuses on food. Even though the Thanksgiving Day parade ends with Santa's arrival at Macy's, more employers are giving employees the day off and beginning the crazy holiday season after midnight. The best thing about Thanksgiving, though, is its focus on being thankful. After a horrible first year in Plymouth, Massachusetts, the Pilgrims celebrated a new holiday, Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for bringing them safely through trying times. Maybe this has been a great year for you and you have plenty for which to give thanks. Or maybe this has been an awful year and you don't see any reason to be grateful. Even in years that are really tough, I still look for reasons to be thankful. And because I'm thankful, I'm prosperous. There's a reason in everything I do about money that I focus on prosperity. Unlike being rich, being prosperous is within reach because prosperity focuses on being grateful. Prosperity includes having family, friends, or furry companions that love you. Prosperity can be achieved through simple, inexpensive things, like a cup of coffee with a friend or a walk in the park. For years, I have said prosperity is so much more than money. Your prosperity is your joy, and those things that bring you joy are also the reasons you have to be thankful. So this year, I want you to take some time to look for the prosperity in your life. It's been a tough year for a lot of people, and it's been a discouraging year for a lot of people. Fixing the discouragement can really only happen by looking at things that are going right, changing your focus from what you're worried about to what you're grateful for. It doesn't mean that you ignore the things that are going on, but it does mean that you need to spend some time looking at those things that are within your realm of control so that you can begin to reset a little bit yourself and try to lower your stress level. So this year, more than many other years, I think focusing on being grateful, on the things that you love, on the things that you can be thankful for, will really help you have a more joyous end to 2025.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I wanted to give you the last things that I am doing this year. On November 15th, I will be at the Sepulpa Public Library in the Oklahoma Author Showcase, and I'll be reading from at least one of my books, and I'll have a booth set up. I'm also going to be making an appearance on the Fiction Lab podcast. I don't have the date for that yet, but I'll give it to you as soon as I know when it is. And then finally, on December 4th, if you're in Norman, I'm part of the Chamber of Commerce Brunch and Buy. So if you're looking for holiday gifts, that's a good time to have a chance to pick up some books and I can sign them for you. So that's everything I have through the end of the year. And I'm kind of stalling a little bit because I really hate to have to answer the question that I am getting a lot right now from people, which is really simple. It's like, Peggy, what do? I've lost my food stamps. I have a friend who's lost food stamps. I've been furloughed from the government. We don't have a paycheck. What do I do? So honestly, this isn't financial planning training per se, because, you know, financial planning would say, oh, well, have an emergency fund. And that doesn't do you a lick of good if you don't have an emergency fund right now. So here's just a few things to think about. Oh, and the other big one is, Peggy, I can't afford my health insurance anymore. So the first thing I'm going to say, and this is always good advice because we don't make good decisions when we're panicking, but my first recommendation is don't panic. Now, I am not minimizing what you're going through. I'm not suggesting for a minute that you don't have good reason to panic, but I am saying when you panic, you tend to forget about things. And then the other thing that I would say that people really don't like to hear is go ahead and take advantage of resources and then pay it forward later. So let me be a little bit more specific about that. I know some of you have never had to go to a food pantry or go to a church to see if they have food baskets lined up, or go to any of the sites right now that are giving away baskets of food. But being hungry does not accomplish anything. And if there is food, and that's a whole other problem because there's so much need right now that it's really flooding the charitable organizations trying to help. But if there is food, you need to take it. Okay, whether you've ever done it before, whether your salary is high or low or medium, whether you're on SNAP benefits, you need to take advantage of food for a senior family member. You need to do whatever you need to do to try to get the food. Now, for those of you who are not laid off, Remember that people get, about $6 to $10 a day when they're on SNAP benefits. So if you possibly can give, this is a really good time to do it. Because a lot of these people are elderly. More SNAP recipients are white than any other race. So these aren't just lazy people who refuse to go get jobs. Okay, that's a really convenient way of saying it's not my problem. It is your problem. It's my problem. And it's really reflective of what was going on in A Christmas Carol when the two children were underneath the cape and they said, they're everybody's children. We have got to help people out if we're in the position to do it. If it can be more than a 6-pack of green beans, that would really be lovely. Because when you think about how many people are going hungry right now, you know, and your 6-pack of green beans, okay, maybe they're really expensive green beans and they're $10. If you could put a little bit more with that, we can try to help people not be hungry. If suddenly your health insurance has become unaffordable, the first thing I would say is I'm expecting both SNAP and health insurance to solve itself before the end of the year. I do not think either of these two issues are going to last a tremendously long period of time. And now, this is me talking, okay? I'm not taking this from a book. I'm saying what I believe to be true. I believe that the health insurance credits will be back in place by the end of the year. I do not think they're going to throw this many people off of affordable insurance. And I believe the SNAP benefits will be restored ahead of that. So look at the insurance available on the marketplace. But here's another place to look just in case the marketplace isn't affordable. If you're a member of any professional organization, whether that's a financial planner like I am when I'm a member of the Financial Planning Association, I look to see and Authors Guild members have some options. They weren't quite as generous as I was hoping they would be if I read it correctly, but it's worth looking at because if you're making your money as a writer, then there may be health insurance available for you. So look at all of those organizations because sometimes they know that the people who are part of the organizations are self-employed or working the gig economy. The kinds of people who are more likely to be on the marketplace, you might be able to find cheaper insurance there. You also might be able to downgrade the level of insurance so that you have some coverage, but not maybe the coverage that you had. And no, I think it stinks that you have to do that, okay? I am not saying that I'm good with it, but I am saying that some insurance, catastrophic insurance, is better than no insurance. So you need to look at that. You need to look, and if your spouse is working, you know, sometimes it's cheaper to be on the marketplace, but maybe not now. So maybe you look to see if you are married. Usually you have to be married to the person and see if you can get on their insurance. You know, if you live in an area and you're doing okay, I want you to pay attention to the streets around you. 50-50, there's somebody on your street who's struggling a little bit. So as we're going into the holidays, as we're dealing with a situation that we should not be in, if we'll all work together, we can help a little bit and make things easier.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.